Blog Talk Radio.
Professor Benjamin, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for asking. Another beautiful day, I tell you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, good morning to each and every one of you. Good morning. We hope that you're having a wonderful September so far. I tell you, we have really gotten underway. And can you believe this weekend we're making it halfway through the month? Yes, it seemed like it was just September the 1st, and we are headed. Wow, so we got a lot to do. We got a lot to get done. Boy, oh boy, before you know it, we'll be buying and wrapping Christmas gifts here.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, almost that time, huh?
I tell you, so I just look forward to all that's going on and all that's happening, and I know you have an awesome topic today that you want to discuss. I'm seeing here, sounds very interesting. Happy wife, happy life. Giving her what she really needs in the interest of better homes and marriages. I know that's right. There are 52 things that wives need from their husbands. So what husbands can do to build a stronger marriage? And this is by best-selling author Jay Paylettner?
Paylettner,
okay.
Yes.
A continuation of the Book of Success Project. So, you know, we want to hear about that. And definitely, people, go and tell your people that you know that are husbands or that even desire to be husbands. And also tell the wives and those who desire to be wives so that they can know what to expect from a man. Okay, so Terry, take it away.
Lisa, thank you so much. Thank you. Again, I really treasure this time we have together. I really treasure this program because I think we're doing a big service. And this book by book success project is really designed to help people start thinking about some real things. The book that we're discussing today is a book that I just come across because I'm looking for ways to improve myself and improve my marriage, and, you know, and also improve my walk with God. I mean, this is all part of growth. I mean, I think one of the things we have to understand that when I talk about sexy at 60, it's not just the physical part. I think there are people who are 60, 70, and 80 who have never grown up. And so what I'm trying to do, and I'm not just doing it for the listeners, I'm doing it for myself. I'm trying to reach my maturity in a mental sense and in a physical sense, but really, I guess most important of all, in a spiritual sense. So the books I present are really designed to, at the end of the book-by-book project, maybe what we'll do, maybe in December, maybe we'll just sit down and talk about all the books that we have read so far. And I want people to actually develop a list of books that we can talk about, and maybe in December we'll just sort of maybe try to look at the best of the best and maybe come with some kind of award or some kind of a prize to the best book and the best author, because I want these books to be part of your real life. I don't want them to be something that's abstract. I want them to be something that's real. I mean, I read because I love to read, but I read because I need to read. There's so much I need to know. And a book like this book, 52 Things Wives Need from Their Husbands. And it's really, you got to be careful with this particular topic because, again, you know, we're actually building expectations. And I think you made a good point when you say if you expect to be married, whether you're male or female, there's things you need to look at. I know for myself, when I went into marriage because my mother never married my father, I had no role model. I had no guy. So I had to do a lot of things by trial and error. But one of the things we have to understand is there is always something there for us. There's always some help. I mean, the Bible, this book that I'm about to discuss is basically a Christian-based book. I mean, there's a lot of experiences from people, but there's a lot of scripture as well. Because in Fallen Analysis, I mean, Jehovah God is the one who has gotten us here where we are, but he's our creator. I love what T.D. Jakes says. He says, you know, if you want to understand the purpose of a thing, you don't go to the thing, you go to the maker, because the maker knows more than the thing ever could. And so we know that God is the one who made us. So if we need some help about what we should do and where we should be, let's go to the maker, as T.D. Jakes says, you know, the potter, okay? We'll go to the potter because he knows what we're here. And so this book here, today, wives need different things from their husbands. And, you know, I guess we might be opening up a can of worms because what happens is that you put these things out there and people are going to respond to them. And so, again, the topic today is 52 things wives need from their husbands. Obviously, there's a lot more things, but these are some of the, I won't even say basic things, there's some of the things that this particular writer has brought to our attention. And again, I just would like to discuss that, and hopefully we have some callers who might like to call in and respond. But the thing is, understand, you know, we're not talking about things that women want, we're talking about the things that women need. And, you know, I jokingly say, happy wife, happy life, because any married man knows that if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. And if mama's happy, you know what? Everybody's happy because, again, she's going to do what she does, but she's going to do it to the upteenth power, and everybody will benefit. And I like what the book says here, the best plan is to have a plan. And so this book is going to help you plan a happy marriage and plan a happy life.
Wow. That is awesome. So, yes, let's have them. I'm ready.
Okay. I guess not in any particular order. I'm just sort of jumping around because I think that there's so much in this book. But one of the things I think I sort of like to look at, and again, just to put things in a proper order, you know, again, let's understand that in the Christian household, the male is the head of the household. Now, that doesn't mean that he is the boss of everything, that he has to do everything. We're not saying that. We're just saying that in terms of the setup, you know, is God, and then it's the husband, and then his wife, and then it's the children. But it says here, needs number 15, it says, wives need their husband to be the pastor of your home. Okay, and I want to say it again. It says here, wives need their husband to be the pastor of your home. And it says here in the book here, it says, seek God's will. Let your family see you seeking God's will. Help them see God's will. And he referenced the Acts. It says here, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. So again, I think what it's saying that we're all in this together. And I know my daughter, and she says, you know, she loves to see a praying man, a spiritual man. That makes her see this man as very attractive. And I think, again, we need to be attracted to our wives. We need to be attracted to our husbands, because there's so many temptations out there, not just for men as well as for women. So we really have to put God first. And it says here in the book that I quoted, it says here, the simplest formula is this. Be the best Christian you can be. Let your family see the effort, and then help them do the same. So I think, again, I know one of the young men I spoke to at the church I attend, he was saying that, you know what, you can't preach a sermon, you have to be a sermon. And I really believe that. I believe that, you know, the father is the head, so he has to be out there in front. And really, it's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of pressure. But you know what, we have help. We have help in other brothers and in the congregation and other brothers in life who are really understand that to be mature is to be spiritually mature, you know. It's easy to say, I can't do this, I can't do that, but you know what? We have no choice, okay? We have no choice. We have to play the role that we are assigned. We must live the life that we were meant to live, and I think God wants us to be happy in our marriages because, you know, I always laugh, and I joke with my students, I said, you know what, who wants to get married? And most of them raised their hand, and I said, are you sure? Because, you know, it's not an easy thing. It's sort of complicated, and that's why we need as much help as we can. And so that's really important for men to be truly heads of the household.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good. So, 52 things. So, a man, you know, having his rightful place, the woman having her rightful place, and these 52 things that a woman needs from her husband. That's what I want to hear.
And this book is really good because it really gets into some really serious things in terms of just what needs to be done. And some of these things may seem controversial, but I think that it's really neat, and especially at this time. You know, I think that, you know, we are bombarded by so many different images of what things should be and how they should be. And, you know, the world takes a very, casual view of marriage. And I think, and that's why a lot of times we're in so much trouble. You know, we have to understand that marriage, you know, especially for a married couple who's married for a long time, I mean, you got to understand that, you know, this is a lifelong commitment. I mean, I know there's divorce, but you know what? That's not the always the easy way out. You know, sometimes you got to really understand that, you know, this is forever. This is forever. You have to really understand what it is. And also, you know, it says here, need number 30, it says here, wives need their husband to get love right. And what he means by that, he says here, prepare to be slightly confused. Love can do that to you. Probably because there are so many different kinds of love. Romantic love is tough for guys because we all get hung up somewhere between being sappy poetry and primal urges. Brotherly love is what you share with your teammates, roommates, and guys in your small group. Love is also a word we use probably in error to describe various relationships with our cars, pizza, the NBA, and that kind of stuff. But when the Bible talks about love, especially in 1 Corinthians 13:48, which is quoted here in the book, it says here, love is patient. Love is kind.
Mm-hmm.
Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Mm-hmm.
And he says here in the book here, the author says, don't fear love. Don't be afraid mm-hmm. to say the word, to sift through the disguises of love, even to surrender completely to the knowledge and feeling of love. That's why, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's important for wives, for a husband, to tell their wives that they love them. I mean, you can do things that would suggest love, but I know for my wife, I mean, I can do things and, you know, and do this and help her do this and whatnot, but you know what? I need to tell her I love her, you know, because I think that's what's needed. I mean, you'd be surprised how far that goes with a woman, and it seems like a simple thing, but you know what? It's something that we neglect to do, and I think that we have to really do this because, again, at this particular point, we all need to be we need to be secure about our relationships because there's so much coming at us. And we really need to do that.
That's so true. That is so true. There is a lot that comes at the man and the woman in married couples. Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of times there's even a lot coming at them before they even get married. And some don't even end up getting married.
Yeah.
So certainly sounds like a great book to get and to read. Talking about being, you know, some people don't believe that they can really find, you know, happiness, especially if they've had a lot of drama and trauma in their relationships. But, you know, sometimes you have to be willing to move past that, have to be willing to make that change and to put, you know, put your effort in it. You can't just wait on the other person to do everything. And so in the book, it talks about what husbands can do to help build a stronger marriage. So encouraging people to get this book. And so you want to tell us a little bit about the author? And
yeah, I do, because I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, when you're talking about books, I understand that books are written by real people. And I know for myself, and as well as you, many of us are, you know, we are public speakers, we are teachers, but we are also writers. And this gentleman here is very interesting because, you know, his name is Jay Kletner, and it says here he's a dad, but he pays his mortgage and feeds his family working as a freelance writer, ad man, speaker, creativity trainer, and radio producer. And he's written other books that are good, and he's also found a foundation, which I find very interesting. It's called Fathers.com. And it says here in its purpose statement, says that we believe every child needs a dad they can count on. At the National Center for Fathering, we inspire and equip men to be involved fathers, stepfathers, grandfathers, and father figures to their children who need them. The National Center was founded by Ken Canfield in 1990. And again, basically, this is helping us be better fathers. And I like what they include. They say not just fathers, but stepfathers, grandfathers, and father figures. I told you before, my mother had me when she was 14 years old. My mother and father never married. They were just too young. I've had a relationship with my father. You know, I see my father every chance that I get. We spend time together. But I never had the pleasure of having a father in the house. But I've had father figures. My mother never married, you know, so I never had a stepfather, but I have been a stepfather to my first marriage to two daughters, and my second marriage a stepfather to three daughters and two granddaughters, and my son, his wife is pregnant, she's having twins, and so is another two daughters. But I think, you know, we have to understand, just because we're a man, that we know what it means to be a man, because the idea of manhood in this society is based on some very unchristian behavior. I thought to be a man was to have a whole lot of women. And so, you know, that's what I did, and not realizing that's not the mark of a man. You know, that's just somebody who has a lot of women. And but that's all I saw. I saw guys, you know, who I thought was really cool and whatnot, but, you know, that didn't help me. And this book here, and this writer, he has a book entitled 52 Things Kids Need from a Dad.
Hmm.
365 ways to say I love you to your kids. Okay, you have to talk. You have to communicate, and that's ongoing. I think, you know, sometimes I think we think that we can coast, that we can just sort of pedal the bicycle and then just sort of ride. But that's the way life is. Life is every day putting it in. Every day, you know, really doing something to make your life better. And if you're married, to make life better for your wife and for your children. You know what I mean? You can never. And that's why, you know, I really makes me laugh when I see people tell me that they're bored. I mean, how can you be bored? It's just so much to do, you know? It's so much to do. And I'm saying to you, if you don't have your own business, you know, you have no right to be bored. Okay, we have to understand this economy. You know, you need more than one source of income. But let's put it on the table. You know, nothing about it. You know, I'm the type of person, if there's three adults in the household, all those adults are contributing, whether it be mother, father, sister, daughter, or whoever. I mean, that's just the way it is, you know. But again, it is so interesting in this country, you know, you have opportunity to start your own business. And I think everybody has something that they can do to bring some money in, you know.
Yes, it's sometimes it's just a matter of finding out what it is.
Exactly.
Take a stab at this, take a stab at that.
Yeah.
Eventually, you may hit it right. You know, you may hit the nail right on the head. But, you know, getting back to this happy wives and a happy life, giving her what she really needs, and in the interest of better homes and marriages, this book. That was written by Mr. J. Playleffner, and he has discovered some things, and he put it in a book and to help others. Here every Tuesday, you have Professor Terry Benjamin and myself every Tuesday doing the Book by Book Success Project, reviewing different books that are motivational, empowering, inspiring you to a better life, you know. Jesus said, I came that you would have a life and have it more abundantly.
Yes.
Well, certainly you don't want an abundance of mess. So you want to have, you know. Go ahead.
And I'm just saying that, you know what, I mean, I think it's really important, this particular book, because, again, husbands need this kind of instruction. And a lot of times, I think, you know, I look at women, how women react with women, and how men react with women, and how men react with other men. And again, with women, I've seen it. My wife said, you know, she'd go on someplace, and he would sit down, and a woman would come over, and they have a very great conversation. Most men don't do that, because most men, we don't want other men to see us as weak in any kind of way. So we're not going to talk about what we didn't do well and how we messed this up, because we want to be seen in that light. But you know what? We've really got to sit down and have this dialogue, because I see so many young men walking around here being of mankind but not being men, you know? And that's really serious right now, because we need men. We need men who are going to help us to live a better life. And I believe that, you know, I believe it's like one household at a time, you know? That's why I love going to church, because you come to church, you meet different people, different households, and the church I attend is multiracial or multicultural. So you'll see all types of people. At one time, I remember back in the day, someone said that in church on Sunday, it was the most segregated activity. But now that's not true, because, you know, even, quote, black churches or churches that have black pastors, you know, they welcome people of other races, and I think that's a really good thing, you know. But again, you know, you have to And that, you know, that's just part of it. You know, that's just really part of it.
And so in this book, these 52 things that, is it 52 things that she needs? Right, 52 things wives need from their husbands.
Yes.
Yes. And so what are some of the other things that a wife needs? I mean, I know we want to go out and get the book and read it for ourselves, but I just want to make a note of some of these things so I can post them on Facebook to encourage people to get the book.
Yeah, well, again, just a few things. Like I said, in no particular order, it says wives need their husbands to 18 to only have eyes for her.
Definitely. I can agree with that.
Yeah. What wives need 22 their husbands to rebuild love.
Mm.
Wives need their husbands to do the church thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wives need their husbands to do more than nod and smile.
Okay, I wonder what we're going to definitely have to read the book on that one. Because I would love to have that expounded upon, to do more than nod and smile. Go ahead.
Yeah, it says 46.
Those are good.
Wives need husbands to kiss better and kiss more.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this one, and I'm going to actually go to this because I think this is key. And just briefly, it's here on page 163, and it says here, wives need their husbands to make them beautiful.
Mm.
So see, if you see your wife as beautiful, she is.
Mm. Yeah, I can believe that. I can definitely believe that because I can remember thinking, things like that about my own husband, thinking, wow, he thinks I'm beautiful. I must be beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember saying that to myself, like, wow, I must be beautiful. He thinks I am. You know, here's a man who took the time to marry you out of all the other options. You know, he could have picked anyone, and especially, you know, a husband that knows so many people. My husband knows so many people from, you know, high school, having played sports, you know, and all the different things that he, you know, traveling away, going away to college, all the people he probably met there, you know. And so it really means a lot. And so these are some really good points. And I'm going to get that book and let him read it. Just in case.
Well, you know, Lisa, I think this is the point. I think, you know, I know I share these things with my wife because, again, you know, I think as married couples, you know, we got to have some study time together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I know you study. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, Drew studies, you know, but sometimes we need to study together and not just in church. I mean, me and my wife, we took the Dave Ramsey class together. I know many people took that to try to develop some financial success and some financial freedom, you know. We took the class together, and it was good, you know, sitting in class together and having this. But I think we need to do more of that because, again, in the file now, it's really just you and your husband. I mean, you know, I mean, the kids will come and they will go, but you got to understand that primary relationship is between you and your husband, and if you don't get that right, you're not going to be happy. And also, in a long-term relationship, I always say, I tell my wife, my current wife, I said, you know what, in a long-term relationship, you fall in and out of love, you know. You know, one day you might not feel inspired at all by your husband or your wife, but another day he or she might say something or wear something. I mean, my wife, you know, when we come home from church now, you can change her clothes and just, you know, go into her house clothes, you know. But, you know, she gets something nice and she wears her makeup in the house. Now, she doesn't have to do that, but I think I know that she does this for me, you know. So, you know, I can look at her and appreciate her and that kind of thing. Sometimes we got to dress up for each other. Sometimes we got to, you know, we got to treat each other as if we were still dating. I think that's the key, okay?
Well, I know my
granted, yeah.
Yeah, I know my pastor's wife one day, she gave out this instruction to, she was actually giving it to her new daughter-in-law, but of course the whole congregation, you know, we got it as well, because she gave it from the pulpit. She said, and they've been married about 36 or 7 years now, this was about 3 years ago. She said, here's the secrets to, you know, like being a wife or something. She said, you know, keep your house spotless, but never let him see you cleaning it.
I love that.
I thought that was so cool. She said, so never let him see you with the head rag and the you know, the clothes that you would clean the house in, you know, the rubber gloves. And the, so you look as though you haven't touched a thing, but yet the house is spotless. I thought that was so cool. And I've tried to practice it, haven't quite mastered it, but I said, these are the kinds of things that, yes, you need to know long before you ever get married. So I'm glad there is a book like this. We have about 5 minutes left to the show, so I just want to let you know that. But certainly glad that, you know, there is this book. I really think it does. I'm so glad that you brought it to our attention for those individuals who want an opportunity to get the book. Go to either your library, go online, purchase it. It's just good information. And again, maybe you don't need it for yourself, but we have to begin to share these things with others. I mean, I know I have a young couple. Actually, I have three young couples. They're my nieces. They're all my nieces in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm so happy that they chose to get married, especially in these days and age, where so many young people are opting to just live together without marriage. And so I'm glad that, you know, they've decided to do that. And I'm really happy for them because it's a lot of work and it's not easy, you know. And 'cause when you're not married, the commitment is less. And if a person wants to jump up and leave, they can. Not that they can't, not to say that they can't do that if they are married, but sometimes when you're married, you know, you've taken a different vow. And like you say, if you can get them in church and they can understand how important a vow is, you know, God considers a vow critical. He says, don't make a vow and then break it. So, you know, to get them in church, let them find out, you know, what this is all about. And so I definitely want to get them copies of that book. You know, so they can, or they can get, you know, their three young couples, they can get together and do it as a study.
Yeah, because I truly believe in pre-marriage counseling. I think that is something. I mean, I didn't do it, unfortunately, but I think if I was going to do it again, which I'm not, I mean, I'm married. This is my last marriage. This is my marriage for life. But the point is, I think I need you need to do that, because it says here in Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Okay? So, again, we understand that we're here to help each other. And we need to, like I said, don't ask the thing what it should be about. Go to the creator of that thing and find out what you should do. And I tell you, boy, you will have a happy life because you're in harmony with what you should be doing.
So you're saying that people really do come, or are you saying, I should say, people really do come with instructions?
Yes, they do. When quiet is kept. They do, you know.
But because I've heard for years people say, well, marriage didn't come with instructions, or children don't come with instructions. I guess they never read the book.
That's right, because if you abuse your body, you know, because it's usually out of harmony with what's in the Bible. You know, we do things to our body that are not in harmony with what we should be, and we suffer, you know.
Boy, that's a whole other topic. That's a whole other topic. But,
yes, it is.
So things are going, you know, good. We love Tuesday mornings. We love this new project, the Book by Book Success Project, Professor Terry Benjamin, selecting these different books. And again, if you're listening, if you have a book that's a positive, motivational, inspiring book, self-help type book, self-discovery, self-empowerment book that you would love us to discuss on the broadcast here. And again, we will give the author all the recognition and let them know where they can purchase a book and even bring the author on and ask you a few questions as well. Please feel free to contact Professor Benjamin. He's on Facebook, Terry Benjamin, or you can contact me. I'll get the information to him, Lilisa Williams, and we will make it happen, and you get us copies of your book. We'll read your book and discuss it. This is going on every Tuesday until we get some people's books. I mean, I do have some books. We can choose some of those, and I know you have books that you're also choosing. I have some books by people that I would like to maybe, you know, contact them since I already have the books and
that's
say
great.
To them, they may not know we're doing this. You know, I find that a lot of things are happening in the world, but some people just don't know about it.
Well, that's the thing, but, you know, we're not going to stop because I think this is something that should be ongoing, you know, because we got to give people the proper information.
We must, you know what, that's so true. People need information. I tell you, information is key. It's very key. So this is great. And everyone, we thank you for tuning in. And next week, hopefully next Tuesday, you know, if you have any comments, we'll be able to take your calls. And we are moving toward, hopefully we can go back to an hour of broadcast, and that way we can take more calls. But this was really good. I tell you, wives, you know, go and, you know, share this broadcast with your husbands. Husbands, go and share it with your wives. And, you know, as husbands and wives, you know, we're in this thing together. You know, we have to work together. We are a team.
That's
yeah.
Key. That's key.
Yeah, we're, I'm here to, you know, build you up. You're here to build me up. We're here to build together. Well, here's the thing. If we're both building and no one's tearing down, we're going to have double. We're going to have, you know, like double the whatever we could have had doing it another way.
That's true.
So I'm excited. I'm excited. And it's never too late. Like you said, it's never too late. It doesn't matter if you're married, you know, 1 year, one day, or you're married, you're on your 40th wedding anniversary. It's never too late to put that, you know, put that right thing in your marriage. If it's not there, if it is there, well, that's great, wonderful. Then I suspect if you have it, you know, all together, and hopefully you're doing workshops and seminars in your local house of worship or in your local community center where you're teaching these other young people who are just entering in this, who may not have gotten the instructions from their mother or father. You know, especially today with all these absent fathers in the household, there's a lot of boys who are growing up who did not get to see a man treat a woman with all these things. And sometimes even if the husband was in the home or the father was in the home, sometimes what that child saw, that son saw, is not anything he needs to go and practice.
Yes, right. That's true. That's true.
He may have seen abuse. He may have seen negativity. He may have never heard his dad say nice things to his mama. He may have seen daddy with a roving eye. He may have seen daddy hit on every woman that came in his realm.
Yes.
So, you know, he may need to be detoxed. He may need to be detoxed first.
Mm-hmm.
And he may need this book, you know. And women, when you are ready to marry a man, you don't know what he saw growing up until you ask him. A lot of men keep, like Terry said, a lot of men keep silent, and they hide that because they're embarrassed. They don't want to bring that out. So, women, it's up to us. We're the ones got to marry these guys and live with them. We need to know, what did you see growing up from your daddy? And if you can't get it from him, try to get it from his siblings. Try to get it from his aunt. It's important to know what he saw from how a man treated his mama. Not just how he treated a woman, but how did he treat mama? Because more than likely, how he treated mama is how he's going to treat you.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you have children, because now you're mama. And he thinks this is how mama should be treated.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what I'm saying, you know, it's so much information. I mean, this is definitely the information age, and you need to plug into that.
Plug into it so that you can have a wonderful marriage, a happy marriage, a successful marriage, and we can, you know, get off this roller coaster of bad marriages and unhappy marriages, you know, If a person is unhappy, let's get them happy.
Yeah, and I mean, because that's the way God planned it. You know, He planned
yes.
it for us to be happy.
Amen. Well, that sounds like I'm happy. I'm happy.
I'm happy.
I feel a lot happier just knowing that.
just one quick thing, you know, it is September 11th, and we can never forget what happened
yes,
on this particular
yes,
day.
Yes,
but
yes.
I can't believe that it's been, what, you know, what, about, what almost like 11 years?
Yeah, 11
it's,
years, and I want to.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Give a shout out to all those people that lost their lives, and so you're living your the victim's mother, child, daughter, cousin, or friend. But I definitely want to lift up all those people that survived. I have 3 close friends that survived, and two go to my church, and one is Nicole Simpson. A lot of people know her. She's on Facebook. She's on the radio. She's been interviewed on many TV shows. She's written a book about. She's written a book about surviving it. She's right here in New Jersey. I met her so many times, and we know that, yes, we have great sadness for those that passed away. But for those that are survived, I mean, can you imagine the dreams, the nightmares, the thoughts, the residue in their lives from having seen what they saw and been through what they've been through? And so we want to lift them up also and keep them in prayer, and that God would continue to comfort them and show them why he did spare their life, or why their lives were spared. Amen. So, all right then. Great. Thank you for reminding me. I was thinking that in the beginning of the show. So I'm so glad that you see why it's good to have 2 people.
Yes.
Because one can forget something and the other will remember. And so that's a good thing. So have a great and wonderful, I know it's going to be a challenging day for many people. 9/11 was a very such a sad and tragic time. And so for some people, some of the memories will come back, and, you know, in all the different celebrations that will go forth and what have you, and people will be reminded. You know, thank God my husband, who was working in New York that day, and not too far away from there, and I just remember just going through that day and just waiting to hear from him, and, you know, just I remember, I didn't go to work because, you know, he was already gone, you know, on his way to New York, and actually was in his office and looking out the window when the second
we get through, you know, we get through with God's help.
That's the only way. That's the only way. And, you know, and it's good if you know people that did go through that and, you know, they had a really, really hard time. It's okay to talk to them about it. They're not going to fall apart.
Yeah.
You know, I learned that when my mother passed away, you know, that's one of your greatest losses ever. And especially when you're still young enough to remember it, and they're still kind of young, and they weren't sickly, you know, she died of a sudden heart attack. But, you know, it's okay to talk about it, you know, because that helps the person who is suffering the loss. They don't want to just act like it never happened. It's a part of your life. It's a part of who you are, you know, so it's okay to discuss it and reminisce and not in a negative sense, but just in an acknowledging way that, you know, I remember lots of different things that went on in my past, and I talk about them all. I talk about boot camp all the time, you know. So if we can talk about things like that, and we talk about how we went shopping, and we talk about our vacations. Well, let's talk about other things that are part of our lives.
Well, that's the thing, because we have those memories for a reason, I believe.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, so everyone enjoy your day. I'm excited. Tomorrow, we'll be here tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. So we're trying to do 9 a.m. now, Terry, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I tell you. But it's good. I tell you, I'm so happy about this topic, and I'm so happy for you and all that you bring to this broadcast. And
thank
I'm
you.
Happy for those of you who take the time to tune in. We really appreciate you, and you know, you stuck with us, and we appreciate you. You keep sticking with us, and we are working on some great things to come, and we're going to eventually have, you know, more giveaways. We want to move to the point where we can, you know, give things to you to read. We want to be able to give away some books for you to read, and we're excited about that, and just everything.